Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Deanne Poulos, who is a writer and support group facilitator with Duet, Partners in Health and Aging. And we're going to be discussing sandwich caregiving. You know, Janice, I have had the opportunity to be a mother. I have had the opportunity to be a caregiver. I did not have to hold those two roles at the same time. And when I think about how consuming both of those roles are individually, putting them together at once seems next to impossible to me. But there's a lot of people who find themselves in this role. Actually, according to the Pew Research Center, more than 1 in 10 adults with a child under 18 also care for aging parents. And that was a report on the sandwich generation demographics in 2017.
1 in 10, juggling those consuming roles and challenging roles. Wow. To our listeners, we are so glad you have joined us today. And if you are a caregiver or a sandwich caregiver, I hope that you'll just take a minute to take a deep breath and know that just by listening today, that you are taking care of you. And as a caregiver, you are so very important. And because we know so many people who are in your situation, we might not have lived it, but we do know that you can be feeling quite overwhelmed at times. And so I really am looking forward to talking about some strategies to help, especially with those unique challenges that can come with sandwich generation caregiving.
Welcome, Deanne. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Janice and Heather, it's terrific to be with you. We know of one another through our shared circles, and now we get to collaborate.
Absolutely. So I want to learn a little bit more about you. Can you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect to the dementia community?
I discovered Duet, where I now am employed, when I joined a support group. I was overwhelmed caring for my now late mother. She did have all her faculties. She was an independent dynamo who fell and broke her hip. And suddenly overnight, a cascade of physical issues toppled her and she needed help 24/7. I was feeding her through a tube in her stomach, changing her diapers, helping her get in and out of bed. So this was an 18-month ordeal till she ultimately passed away. But I found it very helpful to be in a support group where I encountered others who understood exactly how difficult and complicated this situation is. The woman who was the facilitator at the time, now is executive director of Duet, she reached out to me recently and invited me to join Duet as an employee. And I find that the empathy I can have with others undergoing this really helps in terms of connecting with people in support groups. In terms of sandwich caregivers, we found this phenomenon so specialized that we launched a special support group we call Caring for Parents. So there are many people in that group who have parents or one parent as well as children in their household or under their care.
Well, we definitely have the right person to speak to today with all of your kind of inside peek facilitating this support group. I wonder if we could start by maybe trying to create a foundation for maybe people who are new to the sandwich caregiving or who are looking ahead and seeing this is coming maybe down the line. Do you have maybe like a to-do list or a top six list to help people prepare for this role?
Sure, I have a short list that will help people get started. And if you're in the situation, you've probably been surprised to find yourself in it. It helps to plan in advance, however, if you have that luxury or opportunity. So number one, I would say is organize. Sit down and write out everything you need, the schedule of your parent or parents, your child or children, and don't forget your schedule. You have to look out for yourself because you are the quarterback, the manager. You have to be in top shape to be able to run this organization.
Oh, I love that. You are the quarterback. That is so good, Deanne. How about what's next?
So think of yourself not just as a caregiver, you're a manager, coordinator, or if you like sports, the quarterback. So in addition to being hands-on, you're in management mode. Now, don't be afraid to ask for help. This is vital. Ask for help from siblings, friends, even the children, if they're at an age where they are able, and then assign and delegate. You must relinquish control. You know, we tend to entangle ourselves. We have to be less rigid, go with the flow, delegate, allow people to help us. And by the way, asking for help is not a weakness. That is a strength to understand that you need support and then you manage a team.
Ooh, Deanne, that's a good one. I know we tell all caregivers about the importance of asking for help. What's number three?
Communicate with everybody and streamline communications. You're not going to be calling everyone separately or texting and emailing separately. Make certain you have everybody's texts or emails in a group list, and then send regular communications updates. Here's what's going on. Here's what's up. Here's the latest. Here's the schedule. Or if you have a young person in your household who's technically adept, then perhaps that person can send these communications on your behalf to everybody.
Having streamlined and regular communications is so key. You are right. But I love this fresh idea of having someone in your family other than you who can do this regularly and feel like it's giving them purpose and helping them to help. You can add them into the to-do list that Heather was talking about.
Janice, precisely, because one of the challenges is somebody feeling left out, especially the children. So if you draw them into the situation, then they participate, they are part of it. Another step, in addition to asking for help from family and friends, is perhaps enlisting professional help. And this could be hiring professional caregivers for some respite time so you can take a break. It could be attending support groups. And those are free, by the way. You don't have to pay for that. Banner has support groups. Duet does as well. Many organizations do. You might even want one-on-one counseling to help support what you're going through. Another kind of help is there are people who can be hired to do the coordinating for you if you want to take that step.
It's really amazing the amount of resources that are out there if we just know to where to look for them. And you mentioned support groups are really key in finding out kind of locally what's working for other caregivers.
And that's how you find out what's going on, by attending support groups and learning from others who are farther along than you. Another critical one is, while you're scheduling everybody else, doctor's appointments and who's going to drive and who's going to do the meds and who's going to do this and that, just as important is scheduling time for yourself, just to be by yourself and recharge. Now, this might be only 20 minutes or maybe two 10-minute segments of a day, if that's all you feel you have. That is something. May I offer a suggestion from one caregiver? She has set up a chair with a quilt, a comfy quilt, in a corner of a bedroom. And at least once a day, maybe twice if she can slip away, she'll just go in there, turn everything off. It's just quiet. She'll cuddle, snuggle in the chair, look out the window, and just be with herself, meditate, think, or not think, whatever it is that helps her relax and recharge her.
That is so good, because it takes away the feeling that it has to be something complicated and on your calendar and that you're going to a class or the gym. It can just be having a moment with yourself in your special corner at home.
You know, it's a productive plan to do nothing.
I like that.
Very productive in this situation. So a final tip, these are sort of two points that I think can be combined. Accept good enough. Most of us are perfectionists. We want things done right. Accept good enough. This situation is daunting. Do the best you can. Allow others, and I use that term carefully, allow others to do the best they can as you allow yourself. Be flexible. Adjust.
Deanne, these are such excellent tips. And I know with your depth of understanding and background and knowledge of people living this reality, accepting good enough, just that statement and alone, I bet you could talk to us for an hour about that.
Well, I need to talk to myself about that as well as everyone else. But I must say, looking back at my situation, and I often do, and I can allow myself to feel haunted about what I did or did not do when I was caring for my mother, when I was her primary caregiver. I found I was focusing on minutiae. Oh, this has to be clean. This has to be spotless. This has to be perfect. And I didn't just sit and spend time with her when I had the opportunity.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought. Not only just taking some time sitting with yourself, but to sitting with those you love.
Right. Because this is the time we have. The time is now.
Speaking of that and those we love, are sometimes when we're merging a home back together from when we've left home and now we're inviting our parents back into our home. That can be complicated.
Very. This consistently is challenging, I would say. However, I think what's significant is plant and communicate. Communicate with everyone who's going to be involved, not just the parent or parents, but also the child or children. And it has to be understood that everyone must compromise for the sake of the good of the family, the good of the whole. So everybody is allowed some privacy, but everybody has to understand about allowing for one another in a shared space. The other challenging thing is, remember when we were kids living with our parents, we had to abide by their rules. And if you're inviting your parents in, you respect them as your parents and your elders. However, this is your home, so your rules have to be respected if you're going to care for your parent in your home. And I think that's fair and reasonable.
When we think of sandwich caregiving, I think one of the big challenges that comes to mind for me is just having all of these generations together under one roof. And you said the importance of having home and having privacy. Do you have any strategies that you could share with our listeners for maintaining that sense of home for each family member?
Yes, my suggestion is that specific space is allowed for each person. It might not be the most grandiose room in the home, but it's your private space so that the parent or parents have their room, the child or children have their space, and then there's community space where everybody has to respect one another. It's important, though, to have your own space, and that space should have your private items so that you feel at home with your things. That always is helpful. One caregiver in one of our groups has her mother living with her and her husband. Her mother happens to be a hoarder. And the way this caregiver has adjusted is she allows her mom to have all the stuff she wants piled up in her room. It's just not allowed in the rest of the house. So that's a compromise that was made in that situation.
That's a really good example. And it's, I mean, you can just picture it in your mind. And if you have someone who is a hoarder, as a parent coming home to your home, and you're someone who's nice and tidy, that could be challenging. And imagine if that parent didn't used to be a hoarder and used to be the one that taught you how to be so nice and tidy, that you've got some feelings around that and emotions around that as well.
Precisely. Now, both had to compromise is the point here.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother had to keep her items piled up in her room, and the daughter had to let go of, we talked about that, let go of wanting her home to be pristine in that one room. That's the allowance she made.
That's so good. And I think that letting go is so key, because sometimes those small things can become really big things. Maybe it's the dishes, or maybe it's the noise in the home, or technology. So how do you navigate those things, and how do you pick your battles?
Again, it's communication. How many times? That term. But really, it's true. I think we end up, most of us end up falling into this where we feel so strongly about something, we just figure, well, of course everyone feels the same way. But that's not necessarily the case. So we have to continue to touch base with one another and express ourselves calmly with intention of productivity. Don't let it build up so that you explode and that causes anger. So again, it's a compromising with schedules. Your child might have to have quiet time to do homework, at which time the parent might have to watch TV quietly or do something other than watch TV. And then the child might have to be quiet at certain times so the grandparent can have their quiet time. I think if everybody feels they're compromising, there's parity in how they compromise, then it's more acceptable. Now, of course, it's more difficult if you're dealing with someone with dementia because they don't necessarily understand, but you do try to manage how they work within the rules of the household.
So what I'm hearing over and over in our conversation is the importance of communication and compromise.
The C words, yes.
The two C's. And what I've also learned is that not everyone apparently thinks the same as me.
There you go.
What?
So I talked about this in the introduction, how consuming being a parent is and how consuming being a caregiver can be. And for that person that finds themselves in the middle, how can they avoid losing themselves within these two major roles and then potentially balancing a career, balancing the relationship with their spouse, and adding self-care into that?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question, if not trillion. It's so easy to lose yourself because you throw yourself into everyone else. I believe what's required is take that quiet time during the day and think about who you are and what you are and what you need. And again, communicate with the surrounding support people what you need from them, the children, the spouse. You can even talk with your boss at work, and there might be some concessions allowed. You never know till you ask. And these days, I think people are more aware of this phenomenon. So I think they're more willing to be flexible, people in the workplace. So again, it's thoughtful consideration and preparation. What tends to happen is we become frantic and then frustrated, and don't stop, just be calm listen to our inner self, consider what it is we need, and then ask those around us to help us achieve the ultimate goal, which is everyone living as harmoniously as possible.
So when we think about how we avoid losing ourselves, how do we learn to weigh needs? Like, how do we know what really is a priority and what's something urgent, what's an emergency? Maybe even how do we figure out, do we go to our child's school play or do we take our loved one to the doctor?
Oh, how do you choose what's most important? Again, I think it's a case of perhaps alternating. So you're not going to be able to do everything. That's just a fact. And if you accept that, then just move forward and choose the play you're going to attend, choose the doctor appointment you're going to fulfill. And again, here's where you enlist the help of your support group surrounding you. You might have to trade off what family member goes to the play, or perhaps someone else can drive your parent. I know often you feel you need to be there because you have to hear what the doctor says, but if it's a situation where someone else can do it, ask for the help. And you just do the best you can. Really, it comes down to that. Everyone has this same challenge. You just have to do the best you can.
You know, even when you make this decision to choose or to alternate, I know a lot of us have that then inner voice coming forward and saying, but you shouldn't have missed that. How do you encourage these sandwich generation caregivers to deal with feelings of guilt or even inadequacy in these roles?
That is a universal phenomenon, feeling guilty and inadequate. Who of us is trained to do this? Nobody. We're thrown into this and we rely on our wits. And the amazing thing is we stand up to the challenge. Though we feel we fall short, the fact that we're doing it is impressive and remarkable. We just have to be kind to ourselves and pat ourselves on the back. We're doing the best we can. Here's something else I find extremely significant. I think it's human to feel resentful, to feel like a victim. I've thrown myself a zillion pity parties, and then I have to remind myself for what I have to be grateful. And the other hugely significant thing, ladies, is this. This is a calling. We have been called to a greater purpose, to have the honor to care for our parent or parents, as well as our children and our spouse and everyone else who's in our realm. And that is a great honor.
That is such a great reminder. And I think that that helps to ground people. Like, okay, it brings me back to why am I doing what I am doing? It's because of this honor and a privilege to care for these beautiful people that have been placed in my life or your life. It brings back this sense of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Precisely.
So when you think about the sandwich generation, there are some positives that I can think of. You know, I can think of those wonderful times between grandchildren and their grandparents and how much love so often can be there. There's just so many neat things that can happen with multi-generational relationships. But I think to us, it's unusual because we're not one of those cultures where people are living in the same home, where it's common. We're just a very independent type of culture.
Yes, that's ubiquitous in our American culture. Now, my cultural imperative is the family lives together. I grew up in the Greek culture, Greek American, and my Yaya grandmother lived with us in our home for 14 years. She died when I was 14. I never thought that was unusual. I never realized we were caring for her. She was part of our family. She was part of our nuclear family. And because I grew up with that, that's how I always saw caring for a parent. Of course, we all live together and we're part of the same household. Etsitokanome, that's how we do it in Greek.
I love that story. I didn't know that about you. And I think that's part of the beauty of multi-generational relationships and all living in the same household.
I was so enriched by having my Greek grandmother in our home, not only speaking Greek at home, but the Greek culture and also the love of my grandmother. I saw my grandmother's love for her daughter, my mother, and her son-in-law. My dad took her in. My dad was of Greek descent also. So for him to take in his mother-in-law was, that's what you do. And then my brothers and I loved it. We just loved having that full, enriching family.
That's really beautiful. And I would think that there are a lot of maybe positive impacts that can happen to the children of sandwich caregivers with maybe a greater connection with their elders. What else do you see as a positive for these children or from your experience as well?
Well, in my case, I was exposed to another culture, which was enriching. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. But again, the legacy of love and tradition of love that's passed down through a family makes an impression. And you sort of feel as though you're part of something that's been passed along forever. And then you continue to carry that on.
It's almost like it gives you the opportunity to soak in the beauty of your family, of your culture, and then to give back and be a big part of it.
Well, and we were part of helping her as well, our grandmother, as she was frail. She had cognitive abilities throughout her life, but she became very frail. But we were part of assisting her. So maybe that was part of us learning compassion and empathy as well. We were absorbing it, perhaps without realizing it.
Well, Deanne, this has been such an interesting conversation today. And I thank you for giving us all of these insights into sandwich caregiving. I wonder, before we close today, could you give us your final thought when it comes to these sandwich caregivers?
Well, since we're untangling, we tend to entangle ourselves, and that's the primary point I want to leave. We have to be less rigid, go with the flow, accept good enough, doesn't help us to be martyrs, accept the help of loved ones around us, be flexible, and adjust.
Well said. Today, our conversation has been with Deanne Poulos, a writer and support group facilitator with Duet Partners in Health and Aging. Deanne, thank you so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge with us today.
Thank you, Janice and Heather.
Yes, thank you. Oh, Deanne, this has been so insightful, and we really appreciate you spending this time with us. And thank you, Heather, for another great conversation. And thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.